Welcome to Week 9's edition of the High School Playbook, and thank you for joining us. The High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. This week, we have two Thursday night games in UC Sports Nation. Jackson County hosts Watertown at 7 p.m. in Gainesboro, and Clay County travels to Sparta to take on the Warriors. White County head coach Mark Frazier said that his free safety, DJ Paul, played spectacular last Friday night against Livingston Academy. Let's hear what Frazier had to say about the rest of his defense from their matchup in Overton County.
Well, that was the key. We ended up the matchup there was, number five, Kid Hollers is a really great player for them, and we put one of our better players out there on him in Will Greig. So a lot of times those two were going head-to-head, and so a lot of times Will did a great job in space tackling with DJ coming in, helping a lot with some other guys running to the football. So we played well on defense. We missed some key plays at key times. We didn't get off the field on some third downs that may have changed the game, but we did tackle well. They tackled the running back well. We kind of put our front five in a situation where we knew they were going to get some runs, get some yardage there. We just had to try to keep it to not anything big, 30 and 40 yard runs. We could keep them to 4 and 5 yard runs and see if they'll make a mistake down the line. So they played well, did tackle well.
You were really able to limit the big plays against Livingston's offense, and I'm sure that was the game plan, just to try to make them drive the length of the field and not give up those big chunk plays and splash plays.
Well, yeah, and that was it. We double teamed, the Wesley Smith kid, who's just a spectacular athlete. We just, don't really have anybody that can run with him one-on-one. So we double teamed him, and I thought the guys did a good job there. He did catch. He made a big catch on 3rd and 7. That was one of the plays that I felt like changed the game. But you can't limit a kid that good completely. But we did a good job with him, I thought, with the double team. And so we didn't want to make them march the ball down, which they're very capable of doing. But we just felt like our only shot was to maybe shorten the game a little bit and, make McDonald make a bunch of good throws, and he did. But that was kind of the game plan going in.
And in the third quarter, each team just got the ball one time, and Livingston went on a 15, 16, 17 play drive to eventually take the lead there at the end. And just your defense wound up having to be on the field quite a bit in that second half. Did they wear down a little later? They played great for 3.5 quarters. Did they just get kind of wore out there?
Yeah, I've had a couple people ask me that. I really don't think so, to be honest with you. That drive that you discussed is kind of what I was talking about. I think there was four third down plays that, give Livingston credit. They made the plays and kept the drive going. And then we came back, and to be honest with you, I felt like probably incorrectly that I needed to get something there to give us some type of turnover. So we started taking a few more chances, especially on that last throw. We ended up leaving Cedric out there one-on-one with Wesley Smith, and that was a tough matchup for any of us. So some of that was just we changed because we thought we needed to do something to create a turnover to get the ball back. So I don't think we wore down. I actually think we played, we were probably the freshest we'd been in any game this year with the weather cooling down and that type of stuff. So I don't think that was it. I just think Livingston's a good football team, and they made some plays, and we didn't do enough to stop it. So,
Coach, looking forward to this week, what makes you guys decide to play a Thursday night game here in midseason? I know sometimes you'll play a game opening week, maybe on Thursday, but I think it's pretty cool you're playing a Thursday night game this week against Clay County.
Well, the bottom line is our fall break. So the kids, kids will get Friday off and Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think the administration, when they were coming up with that was the reason why, just to make sure that they get a little bit of enjoyment out of the fall break. We obviously have to practice and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so they don't get the option. Some kids do have to sacrifice that. So I think they were trying to give them the opportunity to at least have a long weekend.
So how does playing a game on a Thursday kind of change your game preparation throughout the week? Did you have to come in on Sunday, or what's your week look like now with an accelerated week?
Well, it makes it tough on the fact we're playing a good football team. It's very multiple, does a lot of different things. So it's going to limit us a little bit game plan wise. We're going to have to be basic and just hopefully we can line up in our regular stuff and stop what they do, which is tough. They're 6-1 and do a lot of things. So, but as far as the week goes, for us, Monday it was the same day. The kids are still banged up as much as they normally would be. So we've got to give them a little bit of time to recover physically. And then we'll have a full day Tuesday, and then Wednesday we'll alter it a little bit and more of a walkthrough slash maybe a little bit more than you would normally do on a regular Thursday, but not as much as a normal Wednesday, if that makes sense, to just kind of meet in the middle there and then get ready to play Thursday. So,
Frazier said that Clay County puts tremendous pressure on his defense with the multitude of formations they line up in. And now we travel east to hear what Cumberland County head coach Eric Ballew expects from his first rivalry game against Stone Memorial. Ballew pointed out that he and his team cannot get caught up in the extracurriculars that go along with such a heated rivalry.
Well, I think a big emphasis we've had all year is focusing on us. There's too much going on. We have too many to be worried about communicating with the other team or anything like that. So, you know, we just got to be focused on who we are and what we want to do, and that'll be the emphasis this week, which obviously with given the matter of the game, we'll have to emphasize a little bit more than usual.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but if you guys win this game, you have a chance to make the playoffs. Is that correct?
Yeah, with our region only having five teams and four getting in, four out of the five get in. So, you know, that is an implication. That's kind of in the back of our mind, but, you know, we're really just worried about handling what's in front of us right now. We're not trying to look too far ahead.
Right. Well, I know you're not going to look too far ahead, but what would that mean for you, you know, to get a win in this rivalry game and really have a chance to play in some postseason play, which Cumberland County's not been able to do in a while?
You know, that obviously that would be a great, when it comes to rebuilding the program or moving in the right direction, that would be a huge step. So obviously when it comes to the grand scheme of things, you know, that would be huge. And just, you know, like I said, the significance of this rivalry, and it's been a long time since CCHS has beaten Stone, you know, that would be huge. So there's a lot of importance in this game when it comes to the layout of the rest of the season, but just as well as the pride implications, as I guess some people would call it.
And what are you going to have to do to stop Stone on offense?
You know, it's kind of the same story. We have to be smart enough to read our keys and trust what's going on. They spread the ball out, so we've got to do a good job of tackling in space. So if we read our keys, tackle in space well, and attack the ball when it's in the air, I think we've got a good shot of slowing down their offense.
It was either last week or on Saturday's show that you were talking about, you know, trying to get a complete game from your football team, that you're playing well in spurts. What's it going to take for your squad to come out here and put together a complete game?
I think focus is the biggest part of it, understanding that we have to have optimal focus, even when we're tired, even when we've been in there for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 consecutive plays. We've got to understand that one good drive is not good enough on both sides of the ball. We can't just stop them one time and expect that to be enough. We've got to consistently do that each drive and putting those drives together. And that boils down to even just putting plays together. So we have to focus on whatever play is right in front of us, and that's going to allow us to put a whole game together.
Ballew said you're called head coach for a reason. He said it's important for him to have great body language and energy Friday night for his team to feed off of. After the break, we will check in with Jackson County head coach Sean Loftus as the Blue Devils host region rival and the number 2 ranked team in 2A, Watertown. And welcome back to segment 2 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Jackson County head coach Sean Loftus said that scheduling a Thursday night game over fall break gives his players, managers, the cheerleaders, and band members a chance for a small break from activity before they start back to school on Monday. Loftus pointed out Watertown's athleticism is an issue in Thursday night's matchup.
Just their athleticism. Their quarterback, he's a young kid. However, he is he's gotten better each and every week, getting a little bit more familiar with what they want to do and more comfortable. But their offense, they live and die with their running back number 4 in the backfield. He rushed for somewhere around or over 2,000 yards last year. Got speed, power, so he's everything that you really want in a running back. But overall, you just look at Watertown and just their what pops out. Is their athleticism and their ability to run.
And containing that running back, I was able to watch a little tape on him yesterday. It's no easy chore. He kind of does it all. You said he's got the size, he's got speed, he's got power. So obviously you're going to be keyed in on him really hard Thursday night.
We are. We obviously, it's like every game, we go in to stop the run first. In most high schools, you know, around this area, but they're a run first team. You know, however, they will throw the ball, but typically, you know, every team wants to go in and try to stop the run first, and so that we're no different this week. We just want to make sure that we try to eliminate a lot of their explosive plays.
Coach, with them having a bye week, do you expect them to add any new wrinkles to this week's game plan against you guys, or are you expecting to just get what they do each and every week?
You know, I'm sure that they'll probably throw in a couple of different looks just to get it on film, but you never know. I mean, we've kind of saw a little bit of everything. You know, our biggest thing is just get aligned. You know, we kind of know what they do, what they like to do off of it, their formations right now. So I would say that, you know, we might get maybe a different formation or so, but you're probably going to get the same running plays that they like to run, or the same concepts in the pass game as well. So, you know, we, like I said, week nine, so we have probably saw a little bit of everything by now. So our biggest thing is just get aligned first, and then play it out after that.
Coach, this is the last home game for this group of seniors. It should be a special night, you know, win, lose, or draw, playing their last game. Just quickly reflect on kind of what this group has meant to you over their time here.
Well, you know, they've been through the good and the bad. You know, their freshman year, we went 8-2, was the top 10 ranked team in the state, and unfortunately got matched up with a very good Meigs County after a three-way tie for the region, and we ended up having being 8-2, so we ended up being the third team out of the region last year, going through the year that we went through. But I really didn't, nobody complained. They just went about their business and got back in the weight room last winter and fought hard and competed. And, my biggest thing to them is, they're going to have good careers if they just take what they have done over the last couple of years and put that into their everyday work. They're good kids. They have worked hard. So we have gotten better each and every day. You know, I'm just pleased with what they have done, and just hope that, after school is over with, whatever they want to do, as long as they take the mindset as they've had over the last 4 years in football, I just hope that they become, good father figures, and good people out in the workforce.
Loftus said he likes the progression of junior quarterback Eli Burris, and he said he's excited to watch Burris in the offense over the next few weeks. We hope you will join us for segment 3 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders as we check in with Clay County head coach Jake Johnson in his Thursday night matchup against White County. And we're back for segment 3 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Clay County head coach Jake Johnson said playing this Thursday night all came down to scheduling. Let's hear what Johnson had to say about playing on a short week.
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't know if you ever can necessarily make up for a day of lost practice, but, you know, you do the best you can. Our typical Monday was sped up. You know, usually we like to go and, review the film from the game prior, also, you know, do some install things. You know, because we did not have a game last week, you know, we could kind of afford to, you know, kind of cut out that recap day and just get into a full-fledged pack.
Coach, this is your second game against a team in a much higher classification than you guys. What's the reasoning behind, scheduling some of those tougher games?
Well, you know, the thing about it is you want to be tested. If you consistently play, upper classification teams, and we compete on a single A level, it just goes back to the old adage, iron sharpens iron. And, I feel like we're at a point right now, especially, we're accomplishing much more than I had originally anticipated. It's good. It's good to play up. I feel like we get better every game, and it'll be a good test for us.
Were you able to check out the White County Livingston Academy film, and what did you think of that game?
We knew it was going to be tough anyway. And, once again, much bigger classification. They've got some talent. Coach Frazier and everybody, they've done a fantastic job with really making these guys relevant again. I hate to say that. You know, they're well coached. They're physical. You know, they're sound in the things that they do. And they really, they played Livingston pretty well.
You know, you beat Cumberland County and actually beat them by a lot better score than White County did as a common opponent. But what is it going to take for you guys to come out and give White County all they want this Thursday?
Well, we're going to play mistake free, obviously. You know, when you get in those tighter games, you know, against a tougher opponent, you know, turnovers matter. And, you know, we win the turnover battle. I think that's part of it. Also, once again, it comes down to mistakes. Can we execute? You know, are we going to be able to maintain all game long against, you know, a bigger front on both sides of the football? So it's going to be a real test for us, but we have got to. I mean, it's just going to have to be basic football. I mean, we've got to be fundamentally sharp and not make mistakes, and I think we'll be okay.
How are you guys looking on the injury front after your bye week and fall break?
Well, it was a good chance to, honest to goodness, recover. Not a ton of huge major injuries, but some little nagging stuff that's been going along. You know, these guys have been wide open, you know, hitting each other or somebody else for a while now. We started the first week of August full of pads, but, you know, these guys have not had a week off since, my goodness, probably at least July, not even a day. So, you know, it was good to get away and refocus. And, you know, I feel like they've came back to business this week.
And how was a bye week for you? You know, took a little trip. How were you able to unplug just mentally and you as a coach and your staff come back just mentally fresh for this, hopefully a long playoff run?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the football season's a grind. And it was good for us to get away and refocus. And, you know, really, you know, it's not so much the physical act of, you know, doing what we do. But, you know, sometimes you can get those mental blocks as far as game planning somebody. You're, you know, getting through your routine as far as practice goes. But it was nice just to get a step away. I don't know if you ever truly, you know, shut down as a head coach as far as thinking about football. But it's nice, you know, not being so, I guess, caught up in, you know, scheming opponents. Focus on, you know, what can we do to improve ourselves.
This is the second 5A school that the Clay County Bulldogs will play this season. Johnson said that he hopes his team will have fresh legs coming off the bye week to make up for the discrepancy in numbers they will face against the Warriors. In segment 4 of the High School Playbook, we will check in with Cookeville Cavalier head coach Jimmy Maynard and York Institute head coach Derwin Wright as they kick things back into gear after their bye weeks. Thank you for joining us for segment 4 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Jimmy Maynard, head coach of the Cookeville Cavaliers, said the week off from fall break, the bye week, coupled with the cool down and weather, has re-energized himself, his staff, and his team. The Cavaliers currently sit in the fourth and final playoff spot in their region. However, Maynard said they haven't even begun to look at the playoff picture.
Well, I assume that's right. I haven't even looked at that, to be honest with you. We just, you know, I know that there's four teams, and those two wins were big for us because those were two of the teams that were obviously in Warren County and really was in contention to make a playoffs if had they beaten us. But, you know, we just got to take it a game at a time and try to win. And at the end of the day, when the season is over, then it'll all shake out however it shakes out. But right now, our whole goal is to try to win football games and get better each week. And we haven't even talked about playoffs. That's not even, you know, that hadn't even really been in our minds at all. It's just been trying to get better and win football games.
And speaking of just trying to win each week, how rewarding has it been for you to see, after those tough losses there early, you know, by a point and by a touchdown, just to see your kids continue to grow and to keep fighting and to play hard this season?
Well, and so I think I said this before, you know, our kids have never, you know, they've always come out ready to play. They, you know, they understand. I mean, they watch the film, they see the mistakes that we made, and they know that, you know, we were very close to right now being 5-2 instead of 3-4 or whatever we are. But they've worked hard. They've had a positive attitude the whole time. And, you know, and we got, you know, there's three more football games to play. So we have an opportunity to be, you know, have a successful run. But it is gratifying to see your kids work hard and be able to be able to win some games, because, you know, football's tough when you don't win. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's a tough game. It's tough going out and practicing every day and getting beat around and not winning. But it really is gratifying to see our kids remain positive and have some success here later on in the season.
How are you guys looking on the injury front right now after that week off?
Well, that's really helped us too. I mean, you know, Jacob Stamps was, you know, he was out. Actually, he was out really for about a game and a half. He's back this week. He had a little shoulder problem. He's back with us. And of course, we lost Kate Apple last week. He had broke both bones in his arm, and he's had surgery and had that repaired. And Kate Apple was really playing well for us at linebacker, a young sophomore that has a promising career. And we Of course, we've lost him for the season, but we were able to get, you know, everybody else back that was out. Marcus Banks, he's back going full speed now. And Drew Dial had a little bit of a problem there, and he's back healed up. So, you know, we're as healthy as we can be this time of the season.
Coach, both you and Siegel had bye weeks last week, so we should see some well-rested football teams flying around making plays Friday night.
I hope ours is for sure. I don't know about Siegel. I hope they still got a little jet lag or something, but I hope our guys are playing hard. But, you know, Siegel is not they're not your typical 0-7 football team. I will tell you that. They've got some kids they've been their own worst enemy. They really have had chances to win some football games, and just for various reasons, turnovers or just some tough luck, man. They've had some really tough luck, but they do have some good football players on their team, and it's going to be a struggle to try to win at Siegel.
Talking about Siegel, and you hit on it a little bit, they've played their last three games really close, and like you said, they just had some tough luck. What do you see right now as some of the most important aspects of Friday night's game for you guys to come out of there with a victory?
Siegel offensively, they do a lot of things. They're in a lot of different sets. The quarterback is a 3-year starter, throws the football exceptionally well. He was along with Blaine Espinosa, he was the quarterback of the year for our league last year. So he has a lot of experience, and they've got some really athletic guys that have a lot of speed at the wideout position and at the tailback position. And then they've got a couple of linemen. They've got an offensive lineman that was the offensive lineman of the year last year. So they do have a lot of weapons on the offensive side. And then special teams, they're a team that's, they take a lot of chances. They onside kick a lot. They're muddle huddle on their extra points. So it's the preparation's a little tough for them because they do so many different things, different than some of the other teams that we've seen. And defensively, they've been a 50 team most of the year. And in the previous week against Riverdale, they were a 4-3 and did a good job. So just not knowing exactly what we're going to see, it makes your preparation a little bit more difficult when they've changed the defense a little bit. You're not sure if you're going to see that one or you're going to see the one they played the previous game. So, but they do have a team that's very much capable of winning, and we're going to have to play really well, and it's on the road also.
Maynard talked about all the different things that Siegel does in the kicking game. He commented about how much extra time the Cavaliers have had to put in with preparation for the third phase of football this week. Due to a recent and unfortunate bout with the injury bug, York head coach Derwin Wright gave his team over half the week off during the bye week. Let's see who all the Dragons will and will not have the remainder of the season.
Well, we were, and it was at a good time. We lost three players. We lost three key players in the Upperman game for the season. We already had two guys that were out, but we actually got one of those guys back. That was our sophomore, who was our starting quarterback. But, the Upperman game, we ended up losing three players on the year. We had a freshman who's done some really good things for us, Caden Stover, who returned kickoff for touchdown, has done some great stuff. Kid with good speed. He fractured the collarbone on a play where he just went down. He just got tackled low, but he just landed on his shoulder wrong. And then our senior defensive tackle and offensive tackle, Aaron Talent, who's a heck of a player for us. He MCL and ACL, so he's out for the season. And then our junior running back, Nathaniel Castellone, who's outside linebacker for us and wing back. And it's one of the first I've heard of, but he actually had a hit and lacerated spleen, so he's out for the season. But luck, the good thing is all those kids will recover.
York and Sequatchie are both 1-1 headed into region play right now. How do they look on offense?
I think they're pretty good on offense. They run very similar to what we run, and I think Coach Wattenbarger's doing a good job. Moving the ball around, and he seems to definitely have a lot more depth than me at the wing back spots right now. But they're big fullback and the right wing back are the two guys you really got to stop.
And what are keys for you to move the ball this week against the Sequatchie County defense?
Well, the big thing for me, in my opinion, is we've just got to execute better. We're making mistakes. We run some triple option. We're making some mistakes on it. Pitching ball when we should tuck and run, not giving on the give read, just making some mistakes. And then, we've had to call on some twos and threes, and they're going to have to step up and play for us, and hopefully we've got them ready this week.
So, Coach, you mentioned getting your quarterback back. Are you going to have a change? Is he going to come back and start, or are you going to go with who you've been playing back there?
No, we're going to mix it up. We're going to go with Jonah Durham, who we've been starting, but and they have different strengths, so we're going to try to use them in the role they're best at.
playing a team that plays a similar offense and style as you do, does that give you a little more confidence on defense that, you know, you've practiced against it all fall camp, you see it a lot during the year?
Well, you know the offense. That's the one thing about it. But replicating it, and you know, we, even though we're similar, we do some things different, a little bit different blocking schemes on a few plays. You know, it does give you, as far as the kids running the scout team, they've got, you know, they've got more of an idea of what you're asking them to run and things like that, the scout team coach. But, you know, you've still got to line up, and it comes up to, you know, guys up front controlling the line of scrimmage and doing their job.
You've not really put a complete game together in the second half of the year. How are you feeling about a complete game for your guys this Friday night off of the bye week?
Well, that's the key for us. And you said it, you know, we've went in two games in the fourth quarter with a lead and ended up giving up two and three touchdowns in the fourth quarter and getting beat pretty bad. You know, we've just not put a complete game together. And, you know, and that's the emphasis, like I told our guys, you know, as a coach, that's the most frustrating thing, because, you know, it's not that we don't have the ability. I said, we've been our own worst enemy. And so, you know, that continues to be a focus for us. You know, hopefully we can figure out a way to make that right.
Wright said, York has been their own worst enemy late in ball games. He pointed out that his team has shown that they are more than capable of putting together a complete game. In the fifth and final segment of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, we touch base with DeKalb County High School and Upperman High School coaches as they prepare for big region matchups this week. And just like that, the fifth and final segment of Week 9's High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Steve Trapp, head ball coach at DeKalb County High School, continues to stress the importance of mental toughness to his team throughout the year. He thought it paid off last Friday night against Smith County after some early struggles and a late fourth quarter deficit. DeKalb County has yet to lose a game at home this season.
Well, like I said, you know, people want to talk about home field advantage, and that can be a part. You know, a little bit of that. I've not been asked this question a couple of times. We played some really good teams on the road. I mean, like I said, the three of the losses that we have is against programs that are in the top 10 in their classification, top 5 in some cases. But no doubt the one thing that we can hang our hat on this year in a great way is how we have performed at home. And I'm not going to take that away from our community, you know, from our school, from our fans, from our players. We do enjoy playing at home. You know, personally, we have put a lot of work into that place to build an environment and a place that when people come in from DeKalb County, I want them to take pride in it just as much as we do as coaches and players. And when people come in from out of DeKalb County, I want them to be like, wow, this is a nice place. And then when we play them, we want them to be like, this is a hard place to play as well. So far this year, we can definitely say that we have performed very well at home, and I just hope that continues.
Coach, is it too early in the season and the playoff picture for you to be looking at what you need to do for seeding and positioning?
I mean, if I looked at it any differently, then that would make me a hypocrite to how I coach my team. But I would also be lying if we didn't understand what needs to happen in order for us to get a home playoff berth. And this week's game is critical in that. But really, you know, even last week when people started talking about that, our focus was, hey, we play Smith County this week. We want to take care of business, do what we need to do to build momentum moving forward. You know, now that that week is gone, yeah, we're definitely focused on what this week presents and Macon County Tiger football team. But we do also understand what's at stake as far as playoffs and the opportunity to play at home.
What does Macon County do on offense that you have to prepare for this week?
Well, Macon County, you know, they're a wing T team, but they, you know, they do a lot of shifts and motions and things like that to try to out leverage you and get you get more bodies to the point of attack than you do defensively. So it's a huge point of emphasis to make sure that, you know, our eyes are right. And we always talk about, especially with defense, you know, it always starts with stance and alignment. You know, with all those shifts and motions and things, it can really affect your stance and alignment. And if that is wrong, usually you have mistakes that follow. So they move around a lot on offense. Like I said, mostly run, you know, so it's stuff that we have faced. But with the movement, it adds an extra challenge to it. So we just got to make sure that we're ready for all of that.
Coach, you guys have yet to have a bye week this season. You'll have one next week. But before you get there, how are you guys holding up on the injury front?
The guy that probably coming into the season that had the opportunity to produce almost more than anybody on the offense is, you know, David Bradford, and he's yet to even take a snap on the offensive side. You know, got hurt in the last play of the Jim debris and had a fractured small bone. Got him on the field for a little bit against Cannon County. And then he played a few snaps against Livingston in the first half. And we didn't even dress him out last week. Aggravated something else. It really wasn't that injury. You know, so that's a guy that I feel that, you know, definitely, with a little extra rest. I mean, he's tried every week. And I told him last week, I said, you know, you played here for 4 years and nobody really knows how good you could be. He's always battled with that and always worked through it. You know, our young running back that come in that was injured in the summer, you know, Kobe Barnes, he re-injured and re-aggravated that shoulder against Livingston. So he's actually done for the year now. So now we're down to our third string running back, Nathaniel Crook, who has fulfilled his role great when his number's been called. But even he's been banged up a little bit. He come off his shoulder surgery during the offseason. You know, and other guys that's got bumps and bruises. We definitely got our focus for this week and what we need to do to prepare and play good football. But next week, it will do some of our guys some good.
DeKalb County sits in second place in their region. A win Friday night against Macon County would help bolster their chances of hosting a home playoff game for the first round. Upperman head coach Adam Kane said that the bye week gave his team a chance to rest up and rejuvenate for the last part of the season. Kane talked about the valuable reps that some of his young players got in preparation for filling in for Zach Stewart this week.
You know, we've got a guy, you know, some backups, you know, his backups are getting a lot of practice reps. And that's, you know, it's bad that you're down one of your best players. But at the same time, it does get a kid, that normally doesn't get a whole lot of work. Now he's kind of the guy. So that's, you know, the byproduct of losing a guy is you get another guy that, you know, some valuable practice reps and hopefully some valuable game reps on Friday.
How are you guys looking, you know, health-wise here at the end of the year, hoping to make a deep run?
Well, we lost Tavares. I believe Tavares Collins was who you saw in the sling. He broke his arm against Oneida. And so I think he's out for the season. He had surgery. Terrence Deadman, who was a, you know, freshman, but a kid who was playing some running back and some DB for us, he actually broke his arm in practice that following Tuesday. But other than that, I think, we're starting to heal up. We've got a few guys back that, you know, were out. So hopefully, hopefully that injury bug will stay away for at least the rest of the year. Because we're not, we're not just overly deep. We're trying really, really hard to kind of work some guys in here and there and get them in some intense practice situations so that they can at least function on a Friday night. I actually get down on my knees every night and pray for these kids because, you know, it is a tough game. It's a tough game in a good way as it can create some toughness, no doubt in a young man, but it's also, you know, it's really tough out there and you deal with some injuries, some bumps and bruises, but also unfortunately you have to deal with those guys that really love the game and have it taken from them because of a broken arm or something like that. So we've dealt with it. Tavares Collins was a two-way starter. He was, guy that, played extremely hard, had a motor and, was a big, strong kid that did a lot for us and loved the game. And it was hard for me to try to comfort him when the doctors told him it was done, that his season was done. But anyway, it's just one of those things you got to do. And so I do. I give that up to the Lord and just pray for, some healing and some safety for these guys.
Offensively, Grundy does several different things. They're going to line up and spread. They're going to line up in some kind of wishbone-y looking things. What are you focused on taking away first from them?
That's a good question. It seems to me what I usually try to do is see what they've been most successful at. You know, they came out 2 weeks ago against Cannon County in that power I set, and they've got some really good running backs. And I believe that number two is one of the better players in our conference or in our region. So when they get him the ball, whether it be power eye or spread, he's a threat. But they seem to have a little bit of success with that power eye stuff. So that's kind of what we've been starting off with. I also went back to last year's film when we went down to Grundy, and they put up more points than any other team on us in the regular season last year. They scored 20. Actually had the lead midway through the second quarter, and they were running just
predominantly four wide spread stuff and getting guys out on the perimeter. And so, you know, we've really, after looking at that, we really kind of split it half and half. You know, we've spent, you know, some of our practice periods on the power eye and some of it on the spread. And, you know, at this point, I think the kids understand what we're trying to do. And I think we understand that if we want to be successful defensively, we got to tackle their good players.
Coach, is this a game that you kind of see you guys air the ball out a little more like you did against York?
I would hope that we can, you know, at least forge a balance. You know, we'd love to be a, you know, 50-50 team where we run and pass, but we have been really, really emphasizing throwing the football and running good routes. You know, if you came to our practice last night, you would see us throwing the ball around. I hope we can do both, to be honest with you, but at the end of the day, whatever it takes to get us in the end zone, you know, if we have to run six or seven flea flickers, I just want to get points on the board. So, you know, we'll take it how it comes, but we really have been emphasizing, you know, if we're going to become the team we want to become, we've got to be able to do both. And so we've been emphasizing the passing game quite a bit.
In 1 week, Upperman will host the number two team in 2A football, the Watertown Purple Tigers. Kane said the game that really matters is this week's game against region opponent Grundy County. Thank you for joining us each and every week for the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Log on to ucsportsnation.com tomorrow morning for video highlights and game recaps from tonight's Jackson County Watertown game and for Clay County and White County games. Be sure to log on to ucsportsnation.com Saturday morning to find out how your favorite teams fared across UC Sports Nation on Friday night. UC Sports Nation, driven by East Tennessee Ford.